Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Forza Italian Football Podcast. It is the third of four that we're doing in a 10-day window. It's the penultimate pod of the calendar year that is 2020. I'm your host, Connor Clancy, joined as ever by Kev Pogzielski. Kev, we're not alone this week. Are you happy or a bit disappointed by that?
No, I'm always happy to see Vito. Plus, I don't think we want to see just each other, do we, too often?
Were you not happy to just spend a bit of time with me during the week?
Oh, it was lovely, but, you know, I'd like to hear Vito's voice. A little of something good is good for you, I think.
Speaking of good for you, things which are good for you, have you had a shave?
I have had a shave, yes.
I'm disappointed.
No, it's part of a works over for the festive period. Feel fresh. Clean, because in lockdown I don't always shower.
I think most people would do the opposite, no? Be scruffy for the off period and shave for work.
Well, you know very well that I did during the longer lockdown that we had here in the UK. And I'm trying a different approach this time.
Well, look, you've spoken for a minute and a half. We've not even introduced the guests that we were so happy to welcome back. Vito Doria, we missed you in midweek. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you guys too, especially since last week my camera was dodgy, so you couldn't see me. But yeah, glad to be back. I listened to you guys when I was doing my new shift over the weekend or Friday night your time. So yeah, glad to be back on again.
No, you're absolutely right. So we've not actually seen you for, is it 2 weeks? 10 days? 2 weeks, I guess. Well,
yeah,
about it is
2 weeks,
nice to...
yeah.
Oh, well, it is good to see your face moving as you speak again. You've made up for last week with the shirt, have you?
Again, yes. Yep. So last week, people only saw me with photos posted on Twitter. And this time, I'm actually wearing it again. So although we don't record this over YouTube anymore, at least you guys can see me wearing it.
Yeah, it's a nice touch. It's a nice touch. Anyway, because we've got a bit of football to talk about. And I don't know about you, but I'm certainly of the opinion that I'd like to make this quite quick because we've another podcast to do in about 2 days' time, having done one 2 days ago and then a few days before that. So let's dive straight in with where this weekend's action finished, which was round 13. It finished with a big and comprehensive, might I say, Kev, win for Lazio. They beat Napoli 2-0 at the Stadio Olimpico. And looked quite good.
Yeah, Lazio started really well. I mean, we mentioned on Thursday that the concerns because of their poor home record this season, but picking up their second win of the campaign at the Olimpico. For everything that Lazio did positively, they just showed signs where they sort of went back into their shell and nearly kind of allowed Napoli to come back into the game. But unlike when Napoli lost to Inter midweek, where they were wasteful in front of goal, they just, without Mertens and Insigne, looked a little sort of off the pace, a little bit too pedestrian in their build-up work. Had a fair bit of the ball in the second half, but Lazio rode out that minor storm, and Reina looked solid in goal, and get some sort of 3 points outside of the top four now. So I think they can be quite happy with where they're going to be, considering how they started the season.
I mean, given that Lazio lost, not last time out, but the last time out at home, 2-1 to Verona, and then they drew away at Benevento, you could understand those slight evidence of nerves creeping in, maybe, Kev?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's not even just those last two games. You know, they've been poor this season at home, and a real contrast to the consistency that they had last season. They've kind of gone right down the other end of the spectrum with being a bit up and down. But yeah, I think with how strange the year's been, or the start of the season's been, to be within sort of punching distance of the top four, hopefully as well, once they finish this side of the festive period midweek, they'll be quite happy. Obviously, they've got another huge game midweek against Milan.
Yeah, that's going to be quite an interesting one as well. We might have the chance to look forward to that a little bit at the end, but I wouldn't expect that we will, to be perfectly frank with you. But Vito, a 2-0 win over Napoli, who have now lost two on the bounce in Serie A, having impressed so much throughout much of the season. Should Gennaro Gattuso be concerned about this, or is it just a case of maybe fatigue taking its toll and they're just looking to get to Christmas and have a couple of days off and come back recharged in January?
I do think it's part of the latter, that they should not take too much to heart, and also take into consideration that they've had a rather crammed schedule due to both Serie A and the Europa League. But to lose against two, let's say, big opponents, I think that should be a concern to Gattuso as well. If Napoli are to stay within the fight for the Champions League spots, or even be an outside chance for the Serie A title, they have to try and win these kind of games, even if they are on the road. If you can beat your rivals for the European spots, it's a big bonus, and also I think it just boosts your credentials. So even if these losses aren't good at all, you'd like to think that when they do face each other in the reverse fixtures later in the season, and they're playing at the Stadio Diego Armando Maradona, that they can win these kind of games, and that would still be a good way to redeem themselves.
Vito, from either side, I don't really mind how you take this, what would be your big takeaway from this game? Because both sides were missing players. Acerbi notably had to pull out after the warm-up, or during the warm-up, because of an injury. Seemed to be a re-aggravation of something that was already there. So what do you think the big talking point is after this game?
Ooh. Well, look, I suppose that, you know, I think if we're going to look at it this way, probably with 2020 as a calendar year being bizarre and unique in its own way, I just think it's one of those cases that anyone on any given day can get a result, because both teams, you'd expect them to fight for Europe. Even if it's not the Champions League, the Europa League should be a minimum requirement for those two clubs. Lazio managed to have the home advantage, and they certainly made the most of it. Must be said, though, that in probably in some circumstances, when you're in the wayside, it's probably just that cliche to not be as aggressive or as proactive as you would on your home soil. So in this case, Lazio made the most of the home advantage, even though there wasn't a crowd there. But they were the home side, and they got a much-needed victory.
In the other big game on Sunday evening, Atalanta hosted Roma, looking to end 2020 in Bergamo on a high after what has been a horrid year for the city. And it didn't look like it was going to happen, because after 3 minutes, Edin Dzeko put the Giallorossi ahead. But Kev, Atalanta showed signs of their former selves in the second half once Josip Bilicic was introduced, and Ladeo won 4-1.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't looking good. I saw your tweet, but it was just terrible defending at the start.
Well, I don't know which tweet you're talking about, Kev.
But they clicked into gear quick enough. It was, you know, I was quite impressed with them actually, given what they've done at the start of the season. I know there is some historical context there with them being slow starters, but about 20 minutes in, I sort of jotted down on my notepad, can Connor run those numbers again? Because at some point you get to, say, 10 games when they started picking up, you know, wins. Mm. And I'm thinking, well, we're on week 13. If they lose this, then I wonder how those numbers look at that point of the season. And actually, if the trend is taking a bit of a dip. But like you say, Ilicic's influence, I don't think the British broadcasters gave the pass for Zapata the praise it should have got, because it was the way he kind of disguised the pass, but also put the perfect weight on it for Zapata to hit it first time and with such, you know, great power. And then you've got that lovely off of the crossbar and back up into the roof of the net, which you know, just makes the goal look much more aesthetically.
That's the best
pleasing
type of goal, isn't it?
I don't know. We've had this discussion about, I like the one that curls into the corner and then rolls around on the net. Mm. You know, that's a particular favourite of mine. And then his sort of little jinking run through the Roma defence to then, again, probably wrong foot the goalkeeper, because he probably puts it in the corner. You would not necessarily think he's going to go to the keeper's near side or his near side and keep it low. You're kind of expecting him to bend that towards the top corner on the goalkeeper's right.
No, I think you're right to talk about the little details, particularly because both of the touches were immediate, right? Because Ilicic's pass was first time, so the defender didn't expect it. And then Zapata took it on almost before the ball was actually in front of him. So Mirante will be right in thinking that he's not going to dig a shot out until it gets in front of him. But it was a phenomenal, phenomenal finish. And quite good. I think that's his first goal in 12, maybe. And given his importance to Atalanta team, it's no surprise that if he's suffering, they suffer as a result. But the super sub, Luis Muriel, also came off the bench, Fito. And I mean, he is getting into the habit of taking it around goalkeepers. He obviously did it against Ajax and is becoming addicted, because, I mean, he made a show of Mirante on that one.
Mm. Well, I think that type of goal seems to be a lost art in the modern game. So I'm really glad that Muriel went down that path and decided to do it. I like those type of goals very much. And yeah, I'm just glad that he's done it. And I really hope that he does it again in the near future, or other players do it, because, you know, the world has become obsessed with tiki-taka in the last decade and passing the ball into the net. To me, look, as much as I love attacking football, passing the ball into the net is predictable in its own way and can be a bit boring. I love variation, and I think that's what makes football beautiful. When you can mix things up, learn different tricks, or learn different ways of how to execute your attacks, that's what makes football beautiful in my view, and goals like that are really pleasing on the eye.
It was a lovely feint as he approached Mirante, because you thought he was going to do that sort of slide pass that he always does, and it was just that little sort of shake of the knee that sort of sent the goalkeeper onto his arse, and then around he went.
It was lovely, because usually when they feint the shot, they don't touch the ball, but Muriel did actually kick the ball just to the side. It was one of the most beautiful feint shots I think I can remember. And Vito's exactly right, you know, because I think the last striker who was genuinely great at rounding a goalkeeper was Ronaldo. Obviously, Ronaldo Nazario. Fernando Torres was quite good at it, but not at the same level. So it is quite nice when you see players doing it, because I do agree with Vito that it is something of a lost art. Kev, Ilicic come on and Atalanta looked immediately better. They quite clearly missed Papu Gomez in the first half, so it can't be coincidental that with Malinovsky and Pessina there, they're lacking a bit of ingenuity, a little bit of creativity, and as soon as Ilicic come on, he offered them that. Is this a sign of what we're going to be watching Atalanta do in the future with just Ilicic pulling those creative strings?
Yeah, possibly, and even long-term, trying to find a replacement, you know, not only because of the issues around Gomez at the moment, because of the age of the two of them. Because when you've got a when you've got a setup like Atalanta's under Gasperini that is so well drilled and functions so well, but it functions with a creative player or two, you know, understanding their roles, but doing those little bits that make you that little bit more prolific creation-wise, if not, you know, goal-scoring-wise. And you just notice when it's not there at the moment.
Roma looked shot after an hour, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Atalanta really came into it when Roma looked almost dead on their feet. Again, we're just going to have to chalk this down to fatigue from fixture congestion.
Yeah, I think so. We'll see a little bit more of this midweek. You know, you said an hour. I thought it was about half an hour. They looked like they were sort of just dropping that back a little deeper, knowing how close they were to half time and thinking, let's go in, kind of regroup. But yeah, they look like they want their Christmas break.
Yeah, very much so. And I said to Alistair McKenzie, I can't remember who it was. It's not important. Someone just picked up a fifth booking in five games, having never been booked before that, to clock off early for Christmas. And I just thought that was quite nice. Earlier on in the day, in my home region, I suppose, in Emilia-Romagna, Milan came to town. They played Sassuolo and they were 1-0 up within 6 seconds. I haven't misspoken there. AC Milan scored a goal after 6 seconds. Obviously, that is the fastest goal in Serie A history. Bonus points for the quiz. Not really bonus points, but can any of you tell me who scored the previous fastest goal? I can tell you the club and year if you want.
Yeah, that would help.
December 2001 for Piacenza.
Oh, God. All right, okay, over to Vito.
Vito's looking at Opta Paolo right now, I bet you.
Oh, look, just to show I'm not cheating. So, December 2001. Was it Dario Hübner?
It wasn't. I mean, it's a good guess. It was Paolo Poggi, who I must confess, I had to Wikipedia him when I saw that. But yeah, the previous record was 8 seconds. Rafael Leao got one after 6. Vito, they basically started with a goal advantage.
Oh, they did. And when I've only just seen the highlights of this one, but when I saw that, I thought Zdenek Zeman would have been proud of that kickoff. I reckon he would have had a tear in his eye because it reminds me of his style of kickoffs, but I don't think many of his teams would have had that sort of success rate from a kickoff. So it was incredible for Milan to start off the way they did with Çalhanoğlu, who actually scored one of the fastest goals, if not the fastest goal in German Bundesliga history, may I add. And then Leao to take that finish was a quality finish too. So unbelievable stuff.
I'll tell you what it reminded me of. I think I probably picked up a computer console after about 10 years to play my nephew, never, you know, playing FIFA or something. And from kickoff, he just runs past my men and goes and scores. Am I watching real life or am I watching a console? It was bizarre.
PlayStation
6
football.
6 seconds, though. 6 seconds. That's mad. Like, I know it's a record, so obviously it's unprecedented. But 6 seconds just seems a bit too quick.
I think with some of that as well, you'd expect somebody to make the foul because it's one of those, you're unlikely to get booked for it. You know, so whether it's Leao, whether it's Çalhanoğlu, possibly Leao was too close to the penalty area when after Çalhanoğlu released the ball. But you'd think somebody just brings them down. Mm-hmm. But maybe that was also what caught the Sassuolo players off guard, kind of.
I have to point out Andrea Consigli, who's usually a very, very competent goalkeeper for Sassuolo, and he's won them a fair few points, but he looked like he hadn't realised the game was happening yet. It was quite remarkable. And then he just kind of looked around as if to say, does that count? Surely it doesn't count. But it did. And more importantly, Mr. Doria, Milan went on and they got another win. They are still unbeaten. And they've come through a big test there against Sassuolo after two poor results.
Again, was another much-needed victory for the Rossoneri. And also with the City rivals, Inter, starting to get into a bit of form, even though performance-wise they haven't been great, they're still getting results. I think AC Milan definitely needed to get that win. And winning without Zlatan, who's going to be out until next year, it's important that they can show that they can win without him. And when he does return, they'll be playing with a lot more confidence.
Kev, have you been won over to the argument now because you read an article that Milan aren't totally dependent on Zlatan?
No, I still think it's very much the team unity there. I saw a stat again. If it's wrong, don't blame me. I saw it somewhere on Twitter that the average age of either the starting 11 or those that played today was 22 for Milan. I think which adds a little bit more positivity to the result because they've gone away to somewhere where historically they've had a few bad results, a few shocking results. I'm thinking one end with Allegri being sacked. You know, that is some time ago. But on the back of those two draws that they had to go away to Sassuolo, a side so young, and to hit the ground running, really, because had the Çalhanoğlu goal not be ruled out for a very, very narrow offside, it could have been 3-0 within, I think, was that the first 20 minutes? But they just went at them. But possibly just maybe a little bit of that youthful exuberance and lack of fear that they just thought, let's just go toe-to-toe because Sassuolo will create chances, they will see a lot of the ball. And yeah, great performance.
As Vito Doria has pointed out in the comments, actually, do you know what, Vito, you can tell him.
Okay, you did mention about that game which resulted in Allegri getting sacked, and that was back in 2014. And for those who can remember, that's when we did our special favorite games podcasts when the pandemic first broke out. So yeah, check it out if you haven't already, or dig through the iCarbs, look through Spotify, it should still be there. Worth a listen.
It is worth a listen, and that series is worth dipping into over Christmas when there's no football for, about a week, unfortunately. It's a short break this year. Anyway, we're going to have to talk about fetishes, Kev, and not the type of fetishes that you want to talk about, because I've just seen or re-seen one of the tweets you sent me over the weekend using the word. but I want to bring it up in a different context, which is people fetishize Cristiano Ronaldo's jumps, even when he just jumps like a professional footballer. He scored what was, to his credit, a good header. Juve beat Parma 4-0 at the Tardini. I mean, no great surprise there. Dejan Kulusevski opened the scoring. Of course he did, on his return to Emilia-Romagna. Cristiano scored twice, and then Alvaro Morata scored a header late on to seal it. Kev, am I alone and cynical in thinking that people are just obsessed with Cristiano's jumps because he's Cristiano Ronaldo?
I think it's one of those things where something happens once and it's so good. You know, that leap he had for the goal against Samp, wasn't it, I think?
It was.
It was against Samp. And then it sort of perpetuates this sort of need to go on and on. And next time they score a header when they're, you know, maybe a foot above their opponent. Don't get me, it was a great header. I thought actually, considering his previous goals have largely been from the penalty spot, he took his second as well. It was a really nice tidy finish on his left. And the header was well placed. But yeah, it was no better than that. It's just people love now taking stills of any time he jumps for a header against somebody.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What was most concerning about this was that the players didn't even jump. It was a free header. It's not like he was that high above a jumping player. He was genuinely unchallenged. So I just, it bothered me. It really bothered me because it wasn't that great. He has done some phenomenal things. And if we want to praise him, which we should, by the way, he scored his 31st and 32nd goals in a calendar year in Serie A, which puts him into the top five all-time tallies for goals in a calendar year. I know it's one of those weird made-up statistics that only exists because of Cristiano and Messi, but credit where it's due. Kev, you look like you want to speak.
Well, I was just going to say, you also got to remember that if you look at the Morata goal as well, the Parma defenders didn't bother to jump for that one or Mark Morata. So there's also an element of the opposition that he was playing against.
Look, we're going to get onto that, okay? Trust me, we're going to get onto that. But they also decided to leave Dejan Kulusevski unmarked. They know how good he is. They saw it every day in training last season. And they just left him completely unmarked in his favourite part of the pitch. It bizarre. But
this, right? So Liverani, he started the season with a 4-3-2-1. That didn't work, so he went to a 5-3-2. Then got told to not do that anymore, so he played a 4-3-3. Then he went back to a 4-3-2-1 for this, and it was a disaster. But I said on Twitter, I think you might have engaged with it in some way, Mr. Doria, but D'Aversa got slated because he didn't have a plan B. Liverani doesn't even have a plan A.
Yeah, well, at least at Lecce, well, you could say his plan A was a 4-3-1-2, and then plan B was that 3-5-2 or 5-3-2. And I think he tried to do that with Parma, but his tactics in general haven't worked for most of the time. Reverting to the 4-3-3 probably brought him a bit more in terms of sort of credible performances, if not victories. But you could see that the players were a bit more comfortable with that formation. Although I think Juve played very well, the build-up play was impressive, and I think there weren't many players that had a bad game for Juve. Parma still deserved to be criticised, and especially Liverani. He reverted back to what he knew, and it didn't work for his players. And yeah, it was just a bizarre time to do that. I posted something on Twitter, and with what Liverani has showed, I don't see much point in trying to back him. There are coaches that have their own formations or their own ways of setting up the team, their own philosophy, but Liverani to me hasn't really proved that he's really worthy of that. If I saw there was some potential in this Parma side, I could say that, you know, Kyle Kraus and Marcello Carli could go and find players to suit his 4-3-1-2, especially a proper trequartista, which he usually has in his teams. But with what he's done with the resources at his disposal, I don't think he really merits enough support. I think if it wasn't for what we've been through this year with COVID and so forth, I'd probably think he'd be out the door soon.
I'm inclined to agree. I think that he has been backed as well. I mean, they brought in a lot of players at the end of the transfer window, and fair enough, it was always going to take time. Kraus told me as much. He expected a bumpy couple of months to begin the season with, but there are no signs that things are improving. They got a couple of points and they went on that. They didn't lose for four games, so it looked good. But they drew three of them, and the win was against Genoa. You know, it's not like they were tearing teams up or looking good. They were dreadful. And I do think that in any other year, Liverani would probably be out of a job by now, to be honest with you. But look, we'll move on. There will be plenty more opportunities to talk about Parma between now and the end of the season, particularly when I get back there in January. So look forward to that, listeners. I apologize in advance. Kev, Inter are into second. Well, they were already second, but you know what I mean. They've won six on the bounce now. They did just beat Spezia this time, I should say. But Ashraf, I don't really know the pronunciation of his first name. We need to check that out. Got another goal, and Romelu Lukaku took Cristiano Ronaldo's mantle as being the penalty scorer because he got another. Straightforward enough, nothing really to report from this.
No, I made another great decision this week to watch the first half of Sassuolo Milan and then switch at half-time to Inter Spezia. So saw the goal almost as straight from the first half. But I fear for anybody that chooses to watch Inter for the spectacle, really, because I kind of found myself thinking, oh, this could be a decent half, because they went in front quite early. But then in almost, I hate to call it kind of true Conte fashion, they kind of just looked like they were happy then to dig in, and they probably didn't get the second until beyond the 70th minute mark. Again, I'm trying to pull that out of my mind that's not great at my age, lads. But they're just doing what needs to be done. But, you know, if you end up with a title, they're 1 point behind Milan. If they end up sort of snatching the title this season, why would you complain? And that's probably what Conte's
because they shouldn't
on.
They shouldn't be playing like this. They Inter should not be playing like this.
Inter historically, or Inter with a bunch of second-rate sort of fullbacks scattered around their squad.
Inter with Christian Eriksen, Alexis Sanchez, Lautaro Martinez, Romelu Lukaku.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That Inter.
Yeah, I suppose it's, I was going to say, not, it's not that it's lopsided. It's got a heavily weighted to the talent on paper and where... where the connection is between what can be a relatively robust looking defence at times.
If you drew up an 11 of Inter's players, it should be a team competing for the Champions League. Like, Barella's one of the best midfielders in Europe.
Mm.
Sensi, when fit, okay, big asterisk, is incredible as well. Nainggolan can be fantastic. Eriksen speaks for himself. Lukaku is one of the best forwards in Europe. Lautaro was wanted by Barcelona. They just can't afford him. Alexis Sanchez, when he's bothered, is very good. They have a back three that could be the best back three in Europe in Bastoni, De Vrij, and Skriniar. Handanovic, all right, he's dipping a bit, but he's still got it. Why are they playing like this?
But it's those sort of players. It was Martinez where he played the assist for the first goal. And then straight after that, every single time I was looking at the screen, he was kind of jumping into my kind of field of vision because he was snapping into tackles and then there was somebody else snapping into tackles. But, you know, you expect them to be doing more than just holding their line and almost looking like they're restricted by the system they've been asked to play or, the you know, the role they've been asked to play. But it's working. I know you want something a little bit more from those players, but I tell you, after however many years of, you know, my side not winning a trophy, and I think Inter probably haven't won anything since the Super Cups that they swept up after the treble.
Mm.
Even if it's a Coppa Italia or nothing in Europe this year, but if it's a Serie A title that they snap up playing like this, they will be ecstatic. And I suppose it's that line between us as neutrals and supporters with what they want.
I'm not so sure it is, because it's working to an extent. They finish bottom of their Champions League group. They're not even top in a league that doesn't have an outstanding team. A league where Juventus have won as many games as they've drawn. This is not a good Serie A title race, and Inter still aren't top, despite them sacking off the Champions League, it seems. And if it works, it'll work for a year. And then Conte, for the first 3 months of next season, will be crying because they only signed players from Sassuolo and Cagliari, despite someone coming in from Real Madrid via PSG, from Spurs, from Manchester United. He's insufferable, and he is holding them back. Like, he just quite simply is holding them back. They'll win the league this year, and Conte will be moaning in the summer, and they'll get knocked out of the Champions League last 16 at the latest again next season, and he'll be moaning again after that, if he's still there. But for Inter's sake, and for my sake, to be quite honest with you, I want them out. Just get Allegri in. You'll win the Scudetto for the next 5 years if Massimiliano Allegri goes in at Inter. But can we not anymore? Because I don't think it's good for my health, to be honest with you. I can feel my heart rate. It's already...
Doesn't sound it.
No, it doesn't. My God. I'm not supposed to give much opinions on here, but someone presses the Conte button, I just can't stop. Let's talk about something more positive. Sampdoria beat Crotone 3-1. Vito, I'll let you talk before I bring in the inevitable.
Yep. Well, just glad to get a victory, to be honest. I mean, after going over a month without a win, Sampdoria managed to travel away to Verona, got the 2-1 victory there, and two lovely goals from that match. So I was really impressed with that. And then to get a win at home. Okay, it was against Crotone, who are languishing at the bottom of the table. But it's important to still get these wins. And a game like this is one that Samp should be winning. So, just happy to obtain the result. And if I had to talk about one individual, Jakub Janto is probably having his best year in Serie A so far. And that's where I reckon it helps when you have... a coach that plays in a way that suits your characteristics. And in Janto's case, I think the 4-4-2 really suits him. I think that's really been beneficial for him individually.
You spoke about an individual, and I think, look, you were right too, because you know where I'm going to go. I'm going to talk about an individual, and it's not him. He's 39 in January. Fabio Quagliarella played his 200th game for Sampdoria and scored his 90th goal in 200 appearances for Sampdoria. And if you remember back before Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi took over football and ruined it for everybody else, that was a very good, respectable record. But Kev, it was also his sixth of the season. Why do you hate Fabio Quagliarella?
I don't. I think Fabio's a lovely gentleman.
You say he's rubbish.
No, I didn't expect him to get as many goals this year as we bet on, and again, I still forget what it was about, but I knew that, you know, as soon as I saw the goal, I knew something was coming on social media, and then there was going to be something coming on the pod. To be honest, this fucking pandemic has gone on for so long. If I can travel and get to Parma or get to live football again, and Quagliarella finishes with 21 goals or is Caponcaniere, I will happily pay for dinner and beers. Because,
at the moment, he's played 12 games and scored 6 goals. So over the course of a Serie A season, I mean, there's already one game that he didn't play, right? Because there's 13 rounds. Or are Samp due to play another game? Maybe they are. But anyway, give or take, he's on track, give or take, to score 20 goals this season, Kev.
Well, fair play to him. Fair play to him at that age. I wish I could still walk.
Look, I'll stop prodding you because we do have to move on. Verona and Fiorentina. I mean, Fiorentina just make every game they play in miserable now. It finished 1-1. They were both penalties. I was going to ask Vito about this, but Kev had quite a clear reaction when I mentioned these two teams' names. Kev?
It was that first penalty. I'll be brief. It wasn't the 6 minutes necessarily that frustrated me. It was that they took so... that it even went to VAR. He hasn't even made... who was it? Bereka. Hasn't even made an attempt for the ball. He's tried to sort of rush back into defence, run through the player because he's trying to get to the other side of him rather than go where the ball is. The referee should have just given it. There was no reason to complain. There was no reason for it to take 6 minutes of VAR. End of. I'll let Vito take over and talk about how terrible the game was.
No, Vito. Genoa lost 2-0 to Benevento. You happy?
Great success. happy for Super People too.
Yeah, look, Roberto Insigne scored an opener. It was quite a good goal, but helped by some calamitous defending from Genoa. Every time I watch them, I just feel so, so sorry for Andrea Masiello because he's playing with a bunch of clowns at the back there. And yeah, I feel terribly, terribly sorry for him. The last game of the round wasn't really the last game of the round, but it's the last one we're going to talk about. And it's the last one that we've not spoken about yet. So Cagliari Udinese on the island, it finished 1-1. Two very nice goals in this one, Mr. Doria.
Yeah, well, when you have those players there, they can promote a bit of brilliance. So, you know, just with those kind of teams, you know, on the day, they got their moments. Kev, what's your take?
Well, you know, I hate to pull up our host.
I forgot a game, didn't pod. I?
You did, and you had the perfect in because you talked about clowns in the Genoa defence and you had Da Costa healing the ball into his own net for Bologna as Torino drew 1-1 with Bologna.
I had forgotten that quite deliberately, I think, because I had bigged that up in my own head, that game, and I thought, look, the lunch matches are usually dreadful, but this just feels like it could be fun because it's two bad teams and sometimes that produces something fun. Both teams were playing their second goalkeepers. One of them produced, right? Da Costa produced for us. He gave us something to laugh at. It was great. He even let Simone Verdi score, which is quite charitable of him. But yeah, it's a bad game.
I went to bed at half time.
A good idea. I wish I had done the same, but I woke up for it. Not quite. I was awake before the game. Don't judge me. I think that's it. Anything else to say?
No, that's it.
It's time for the game. You ready?
Yes.
Kinda.
So, right, listeners, I need you to do us a solid here, okay? Because we are obviously incompetent, which won't come as news to you, but there have been 12 rounds of fixtures already, which means there have been 11 games in theory because Vito missed the pod last week, so there should have been one every week. When we add up the scores, we can only get 10. So as it stands, the current scores are Vito 5, Kev 3, and I'm on 2 because the other two are idiots. But if any of you are looking for something to kill time over Christmas, can you try and sort out the scores for us? Because otherwise, I feel like the only person going to be getting an extra point is Vito. So he's being unjustly treated here because of our incompetencies. But we're going to head on with the game. The scores, as we think they are Vito 5, Kev 3, and me 2. But we'll see what happens. Vito obviously won last time.
No, because the last time was the Nicola Sansone one, and that was after the buzzer.
Oh, so I won last time, but Vito won the time before?
Yeah, I must have.
Do you know what? Sorry. I'm going to just check. Vito, you've gone first loads recently. Kev, you can go first for this one because we know what he's going to do, Vito. Okay, so you're going to get a go pretty swiftly.
But you know what I'll ask.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm letting you get it out of the way. So, Kev, do you want to start, please?
Okay. Is it Bruno Alves?
It's not Bruno Alves. Vito.
Okay, yeah. Is this player a foreigner?
I forgot the timer. I forgot the timer. Right. I've never not forgotten the timer. Start. Vito.
Okay, is this player a foreigner?
Yes.
Okay, is this player from a club in the north of Italy?
The player does play for a club in the north of Italy, yes.
Okay, is this club from Lombardia?
The club are not from Lombardia. Kev, it's over to you.
Is it from a Milanese side?
Kev, I'm going to just repeat the last clue. The club are not from Lombardia, which includes Milan, Bergamo, and...
Oh, okay.
Another one.
There's my geography. There's my geography screwing up. Is it from Genoa?
Are you talking about the club or the city?
A club from Genoa, sorry.
It is from one of the clubs in Genoa, yes.
And is it from Samp?
It's not from Sampdoria, no. The player does not play for Sampdoria.
Okay, so foreign player. Okay, is this player a midfielder?
We've just passed the halfway point in the game, and yes, Mr. Doria, the player is a midfielder.
Okay. Oh, God, now I'm stumped. All right, is it Lasse Schoene?
No, it is not Lasse Schoene. Kev, over to you. A foreign Genoa midfielder.
Is it Lerager? How are you pronouncing that?
I don't know who you're trying to say, but it's not him.
Okay. Yeah.
Vito, you've 30 seconds left.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to be honest, right? I forgot he played here. It is, yeah.
Oh, what a relief.
It is. Stop.
See, I thought he found his way back to Fiorentina again.
Yeah, he did, but then that was from Lazio.
Yep.
And now he's gone again. So the scores are Vito 6, Kev 3, Connor 2, with an asterisk beside every single one of those. Listeners, please help us out there. Might be a prize and a free if you do. Probably not, though. Unless it comes to Italy. If you're in Italy, I'll buy you a beer. And if not, you will no be getting a prize. Kev, say goodbye. Wait, goodbye, no, when are we back?
Mm.
What day is it today?
We're back Wednesday after Lazio Milan.
Right, so today is
Sunday
evening. So Monday morning, this is out. So we're back on Thursday morning for the listeners, more than likely. Check in the middle of the night, because it usually comes out about 3 a.m. So depending on where you are in the world, obviously, 3 a.m. European time. Work it out for wherever you are. Vito, what's 3 a.m. Central European time for you? One?
Yep, one.
There you go. Australian people, check it around lunchtime.
That's
right. There you go. All right. Vito, say goodbye.
Bye.
Kev?
Ciao, ciao, everybody.
That's goodbye from me. There's only one song going at the end of this podcast, boys.
Fai sognare questa tua Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.